Brother Robert. I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. It's hard to get through that song. If you just pay attention to those words, he touched me. And now I know. And I like that. And I can carry that with me anywhere that I know.
Amen. Amen. Someone else. As I said, please pray for me this morning. I've been reading through our reading that I've passed out, and I don't know if all the things that I've been reading and the things in my mind and everything has been jumbled together or what, but this morning it seemed to be hard to put my finger on it. I have a thought, but, and I'm going to just read a verse out of the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, the 10th verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. This is Jesus speaking here. It says, "Take heed that you despise not the little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." That is the verse that I want to read this morning. My thoughts this morning, if the Lord continues direct, is going to be looking at the aspects of the angels. We think about many times in our world that the ministering angels that we have. I truly believe with all my heart that there are angels out there that are watching over us, that are protecting us, that are giving us the protection from the things of this world that we are not able to see, understand, or know about in this realm of life. I believe that if we had the spiritual eyes and the spiritual realm to be able to see and understand these things more clearly, that we would literally be shocked. We would be in awe of what's around us. That there are angels that are there for us and that are watching over us. You know, there was a big to-do in the sports and news media this week about a leading football coach that's been there for several years and all this thing, but it just basically goes back to that there was a child that was molested, and that it was covered up. And, you know, basically, they didn't get away with it. This verse tells me that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Every one of these little ones, every one that is born into this world, I believe, and the way I look at this, I believe that there is an angel that is watching over them. I believe there's a lot of bad things that go on in this world, but I also know and understand that I serve a God that is omnipotent, that He knows everything that goes on, and they will not get away with it. The sin and the wickedness and the sorrows of this world, many times the world thinks that they're getting away with it. I robbed that store and nobody caught me. I got away with it. I've murdered this person. I've got away with it because they never caught me and they'll never catch me. I'm too smart for the police. I'm too smart for anybody. They can't catch me because I'm too smart. I'm too good. We serve a God that watches them. that He literally knows everything. He knows everything in our lives. You know, every little white line, every little thing that we do in our lives, He sees that also. It doesn't have to be something that we would call tragic or horrendous. Sin is sin. And God sees every single solitary one of them in our lives. When we do right and when we do wrong. We think about, when we come to think about the things of Satan, we go back into the book of Genesis in the third chapter, and we find in the readings of the first verse in the third chapter of the book of Genesis that Satan was introduced onto the scene, I guess, if you will, into the world, into the being with man upon this earth. Satan, we read over, I believe it's the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. There's a lot of different places in here, and, as I said, I've been studying quite a bit about this, and there's so many different references, and there's so many different things that it's hard to pinpoint everything that I want to say down. But there's references made over in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and I might just turn there and read over some of them this morning. 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to start reading in the 13th verse. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the days that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I cast thee to the ground. I will slay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. I'm going to stop my reading right there. But you think over here, as we refer back to the book of Genesis in the reading over here in the third chapter, where the serpent, he was called in this reading, it was presented on the scene. It says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast in the field, and the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, the Bible gives Satan, or this particular fallen angel, many different names throughout the book. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's an accuser. He's Beelzebub. Many, many, many different names is given to him throughout God's Word. And all of them fit him well because of what he does, what he did. But basically, what he did, he twisted the Word of God and caused Eve to believe a lie. He's doing that today. He still works in the very same manner today that he did then. He's still twisting the Word of God. He's still causing mankind to believe a lie. He's still making them to believe things that are not true by simple twisting of God's Word. And there are people that are still believing. They're still following. There are people that are dying and going to hell right and left because they choose not to believe the truth of God's Word. There are people that are dying and going to hell because they choose not to believe that Jesus came to this earth and walked this earth some 33 years and died on the cross to pay a sin debt for the sins of all mankind. They choose not to believe Him. They choose not to trust upon Him. They choose not to repent of their sins towards Jesus. towards God Almighty. They choose these things because in their minds, Satan has enabled them or twisted their thoughts to believe something differently. Just like those people that believe that they are never going to get caught, that nobody's seen them, that they got away scot-free from whatever they did, from whatever sin that was upon them, just because they think that nobody was watching and they got caught. God is, and God does. God seen Satan and he cast him down. He said, over in the 14th verse of this third chapter, he said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Christ. The introduction of Christ into this third chapter of the book of Genesis here in reference to crushing the head of the serpent, bruising his heel. This serpent has, or Satan, or this fallen angel, or Beelzebub, or whoever that you want to call him or think of him is present. And he's present from the beginning of time. And he'll be here till the end of time when the Lord comes back and gives him the judgment that he is due. We can look over into... I say these things because, you know, I've spoken about... Sometimes my sermons, they run together, my thoughts run together, and you know, but last week I spoke about the truth. The importance of the truth. The importance of knowing God's Word. That's the reason that I've presented to you this reading through the Bible. The importance of knowing what God's Word says. When we look over in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Like I said, I believe there are angels present all around us. I believe there are good and bad. Now, how many there is, I don't know. The Bible doesn't give a specific number. You can look over in the Old Testament. It said 10,000 times 10,000. So how many is there? I don't know. But you can know that there's a lot. There are a lot of them, and that they are very present. We can look over into the Old Testament and we can find time and time and time again where there were angels that were present for the aid of men. You can look and find, as an example, Daniel in the Old Testament. When Nebuchadnezzar had saw these dreams, this angel helped Daniel to interpret the dream. The angel also stopped the mouths of the lions when he was in the den about to be eaten. There's just on and on. You think about the angels that went. Now these are, I guess when you think about an angel, you think of a superhuman spirit. That they're in spirit form, but God allows them from time to time to take the form and the shape of a man. Now, the Bible doesn't give the word angel a gender. And I'll get into that in just a minute, but it doesn't give an angel a gender as to say if it's a man or a woman. But it always is spoken of as a male gender in the Bible. They're always spoken of as men. And as we look at them, you think about those that were with Abraham that went down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There were two of them, and they had a great deal of power, didn't they? They went down and they destroyed these cities, and the Bible says that there's not even grass will grow there, that it was it was cleaned off. It was desolate. God allowed these angels to have great power. It speaks of Michael, the archangel. I believe there are cherubims and there are seraphims, different types of angels. And each one had their place and their purpose. In the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah, I believe it speaks of seraphims, those that are leading in the worship of the Almighty God, those that are circling. I spoke of them last Sunday, of those angels that were circling the throne of God, and with their six wings, they had two over their eyes and two over their feet, and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They were in the presence of a holiness of an Almighty God. They realized and understood that. Yet they were created holy and perfect to their standards. They were still covering their feet and covering their eyes in the presence of God. That should give us just a little bit of an example of just the holiness and the righteousness and the goodness of the God that we serve. If these angels that are in heaven singing praises to God don't even feel worthy to show themselves or to look upon Him because of His righteousness. Angels have been present, like I said, all through the Bible history. We can go into the New Testament. We can find where the angels were present at the coming of Christ. They allowed the shepherds to know. They give them the information. They told the shepherds where he was going to be. They spoke to Zacharias and told him of the coming of his son, John the Baptist. They allowed him to know this and understand it. They announced the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. To a Jewish people that was looking for a Messiah, that was looking for their Savior. There, time after time after time in the Bible, tells us of these messengers, these agents that are sent to help us and to watch over us and to protect us. We think many times, I believe, that we're without. There's times I know that, you know, you can't even pray. You can't even feel like you can get a hold of God. You feel so alone. I just want to give an assurance this morning. I believe there's an angel that's watching over you. I believe there's one there. I must have a really good one to watch over me after all the stuff that I've done in my life, and he's took care of me and led me through. I feel like God gave me an extra good one. But I know that the Lord did this for me. I want to make this stipulation. Never are angels to be worshipped. Amen. Never are angels to be worshipped. They got into that a little bit, into the Old Testament. And there were great consequences because of that. We're to worship our Lord and Savior. In Him only. Everything that they do, He allows them to do it and gives them the power to do it. He is God Almighty. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is omniscient. All seeing. The angels, they're walking around. Talks about Satan walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. They have their limits. God Almighty has no limits. He is not limited to things that He can do. I know that wasn't much. But I'm going to close with that. I'm going to close with that. There's, believe me, there's lots more. when you get to reading. And if you start reading, you can read through. You start looking in the book of Job. Look at all the things. If you've been reading through these things, you'll see the presence of angels in the book of Job. You can see how Satan went and asked if he could reach down and hurt Job. He took his family. He took everything he owned because of Satan. But God allowed all these things. God had to give him the power. God had to allow it to happen. God is still in control. I thank each and every one of you this morning for being here. I pray that the Lord can use something out of this feeble attempt this morning. God bless each and every one of you. Should be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. Let's certainly remember all these that's been mentioned this morning. We have a lot of sickness and there's a lot of sorrows, a lot of trouble. Let's please take time to lift them up. Remember them this week. Pray for them. God will intercede in each and every situation. His will be done in every matter. Anything else on anyone's heart? Tonight is conference night. Please, all that can and will, please come back to the business of the Lord. I know we've got play practice after service today. Anything else on anyone's heart? If not, all standing will be dismissed. Once again, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad you come.
Hope you might feel welcome. Invite you to come back anytime you can. All hearts and minds free. For righteousness. Dear Lord, most kind, merciful Father, we thank you, Lord, for your bountiful blessings and holiness. We thank you for this privilege given us gathered here in your house this morning for the message that we've heard, Lord. We thank you that you send those messengers and ministering spirits among us, dear God. We see it as just more evidence of your grace and mercy and love towards us, Lord. We thank you for your watch, care, and guidance, Lord. We thank you that while we were in such a sinful state, Lord, that you reached out, drew us to you, and gave us an opportunity to repent, Lord. Lord, we're thankful that you provided a plan of salvation for us. Lord, we're unlike the angels who aren't given that opportunity, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to come to God that we might have peace with you. Help us to always be mindful of that. Thankful to you, Lord, in all things. Continue to be with this church, lead it and guide it.